Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I am Victor. He's Jeremy. I'm doing great. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm doing great as well. And you can't hear this, but this evening, there's actually a concert going on just across the water from me. It's a Live Aid tribute concert, and I've got the doors open, so I can kind of hear the echoing going on, you know, in the distance. So it's great to hear live music, as it always is. And anyway, how's things over there?
We are battling through a stormy, rainy night, which is par for the course here in the north of Spain. What kind of bands are playing at this event?
Yeah, so I'm actually going tomorrow. Myself and my wife are going tomorrow, and we're going to see bands like sort of the stuff that was on at Live Aid. It's Spandau Ballet, it's Style Council, it's Queen, it's Phil Collins, you know, all those sort of bands that played the original. Tonight, I'm not entirely certain. I think definitely Status Quo are on, because they obviously opened Live Aid. And there's a few others on that I don't know about tonight, but as I say, we'll be there all day tomorrow. It's going to be a very, very hot day, and I think everyone's going to enjoy themselves. So yeah, local Live Aid.
So they're giving people whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they'll be taking the midnight train to, no, I can take you on the midnight train. Yeah. Okay. So, people that are in the States that have no idea who Status Quo is, that's me quoting Status Quo.
No idea. They're one of the biggest bands that were of the 70s. Surely. Yeah.
And they're one of those classic bands that just made no dent in the US. I didn't know of them until the 80s. Yeah. I guess that song. It's interesting. We're going to be talking about vinyl in a second, about albums. But as a kid growing up, my uncles would send compilation albums, like the summer hits. And we would get them. And one of them had Whatever You Want by Spandau Ballet. And I remember that was like the most rocking thing on one of those compilations. And it was the song that I would play over and over again. So it was interesting. So yeah, that has to be late 70s, early 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Boston was another one that was frequently on those compilations. But I remember when they released the track In the Army Now, which was 86-ish, I'm thinking. Somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah. That was like the first kind of new Status Quo song that I heard a lot. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? This is going to be huge. Got back to the US and no one had heard of it.
Yeah. But if you go to a wedding in the UK, you're bound to hear at least one Status Quo track, because everybody likes that as the sort of the rock and roll track. And so it could be rocking all over the world. It could be, you know, whatever you want. It could be Again and Again, any of those sort of tracks. They will feature a UK wedding very frequently.
Okay. So, and there was another big song that was A Woman's Name, wasn't there?
Oh, yes, there was.
Not Caroline, is it?
Yes, Caroline. That's right. Yeah. Sweet Caroline. Yeah. No, it's not Sweet Caroline, but Caroline. Yeah.
Sweet Caroline is Neil Diamond.
That's right. That's right. We seem to like, or artists seem to like to sing about Caroline.
Well, funny enough, Jeremy knows about this. Some of my patrons know about this. Working at a basketball camp, and one of the days at night we do activities with the participants of the camp. And the coaches, one night was a singing battle where there would be a topic and there were teams split up by groups, and the coaches had a group of their own. And of course I was throwing out references of stuff that nobody even knew. And last year I kept saying there was someone's name. I said, Sweet Caroline. They have to know this from premiership games. You know, they have Sweet Caroline. I don't know that. Who's what song is that? And one group did it this year. So I got up. I'm like, see, I told you guys we could do Sweet Caroline. Somebody knows it, not only me. And oh my God, it was like pulling teeth. We need a different song. I said, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Come on, you guys have to know the Beatles. Who were they? All right. Next topic can either be sun, moon, stars. No, that was sky. That was for sky. It wasn't for the name. And I said, okay, walking on the moon, Police. I know that a lot of you people won't know this, but that's the one. Never heard of it. And then it's funny because the founder of the camp, silver medalist in the 84 Olympics in LA, guarded Michael Jordan. Joe Llorente is the last name. Llorente, I guess you would pronounce it in English. But he comes up and he suggests a song. And I said, I suggested that 10 minutes ago. Nobody knew it. You come up here and everyone knows it all of a sudden. So, yeah, losing battle. Anyway, it was a color. I said, Purple Rain. Nothing. No one knew anything. Anyway.
As you would say, crickets.
I can help you with that.
There we go.
All right. So we're going to talk about vinyl albums here. We've picked out a few. We're going to talk about why we picked them, why we think these albums are magical. And we'll kind of see where the road takes us with this. So Jeremy pulled aside a bunch of albums.
Yeah, well, I had to because as you're probably aware from previous episodes, I keep all my CDs downstairs, but okay. I keep all my vinyls upstairs. Okay. So I had to bring down a huge pile just to make sure I had enough. And but I did select them carefully. I went through them this afternoon. And I thought, yeah, maybe that one, maybe not that one, all that sort of stuff. So the very first album that I'm going to put in front of us is a fairly recent one, actually. It's Rival Sons with Dark Fighter. That, as you know, is one of my favorite albums by the band, but it's also one of my favorite albums of all time. I would suggest, I mean, I as you know, I'm a big fan of Rival Sons. I've seen them live a couple of times. I think that they're really good. We're going to probably talk about them a little bit later as well, later in a future episode, I think, when we talk about, concerts. But this album, I thought, was pretty perfect because there's only 8 tracks on it. And it has a really, really great song at the end, Dark Side, which is a very long song where it's just a tremendous sort of almost like a Stairway to Heaven type. I almost get the feeling this is like their sort of Led Zeppelin 4. You know, it really, really resonates with me, this album. I can put it on and you have to really sort of sit down and listen to it, turn it up well. Maybe got a slight problem with the production. I think maybe some of the other albums have got a very superior production, just a little bit. But that aside, I think that they didn't waste time on this album. They put the best songs on it. And, of course, they brought out the album Lightbringer just in the same year, which I thought was not as good. It was a different type of album, more like a Led Zepp 3 than a Led Zepp 4.
Right.
And took a little bit more listening, and I didn't think was quite as good. This particular album, I'll just show you because it is an album one. I got the the clear vinyl, so it's a bit more of a special one. And I do play it a lot. I played it this week, in fact, before I knew we were going to do this. So I do play it quite a bit, and I like a lot of the songs on here. I mean, we talked about this. I think we gave it an album of the week, probably both of us actually. Yeah. I like all of the songs, to be fair. But I really like Nobody Wants to Die. That's a real rocky number. It's a real sing-along one. Mm-hmm. I like Horse's Breath. I think that's a really good song as well. And I like the opening track, Mirrors. But, you know, I feel all eight songs are really nicely balanced. They're all a little bit different. And I think they're a really, really good band that probably don't get the recognition they deserve. I think that really they should be moving further up the bill and getting a lot more fans involved. But that's the way it is nowadays. So, yeah, my first one that I'm going to pick is this Rival Sons album. And it's an absolutely fantastic album.
So I've got three things to mention about that album. One, it's waiting for me when I get to the States at my parents' house.
Okay.
because it was just way too expensive here in Spain. They were asking like 50 euros for it. Oh, and right. I picked it up for like $22 in the States.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Second, do you think that their involvement in last week's concert at Villa Park will help move them up the rankings? Because they're one of the exclusive few that actually played at the final show by Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne. That's something that will always be a calling card for them, you know, to be able to say, hey, we played this, you know, we're that important. And having that, the Osbourne stamp of approval, you know, because here's the other thing. A lot of people talk about how they sound like Zeppelin and whatnot, but they've never kind of been pigeonholed like a Greta Van Fleet has been.
Yeah.
You know, where I think that Rival Sons is unique enough that people respect them as musicians. I think that's what's different about them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the other thing to point out is that they were actually the support band on the End Tour, the Black Sabbath The End Tour, okay. You know, years ago. And I saw them then supporting Sabbath, and they were fantastic then. They're very, very good live. To answer your question, I think that it's only going to help their career because, you know, they're in the public eye. People are going to check out their music. They played obviously only two tracks. They did Do Your Worst and they did Secret, with a Sabbath song in between. And, it's only going to help that. I thought they did really well, but we won't go into that in too much detail now because obviously we're going to talk about that in a later episode. But, I just think that that there are a band out there that maybe people just need to touch upon. You know, they've obviously got their fan base. They've got people like me and you who've sort of cottoned on to the fact that they are really good. I saw them live in Manchester, and it was sold out in Manchester, but it was in a smaller venue. They weren't playing, you know, a bigger venue where they could possibly do that in the future. They have the songs, they have the guitarists, they have the vocals. And like you say, they are slightly distinctive. They're not quite a Zeppelin band. They follow, you know, there are those influences. There are Bad Company influences. There are Free influences, those sort of classic rock tunes. But they have great songs of their own.
Yeah, I agree. The final point that I want to bring up about Rival Sons. I've had a lot of proud papa moments. The especially going back and forth to basketball camp every day and asking my kids who bands are and whatnot, or having them ask me who bands are. And we had to use my son's phone for something because it was the only one that had a headphone jack. And so as I'm creating a playlist with songs that we needed to use for an event, I see that album as one of the albums in his Apple Music. So I was proud when I saw that. I'm like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think they're a band also, you know, they do appeal to the older rock crowd and the younger crowd. And you know, that's a good thing that they do get across to both.
Yeah. So, okay. So I didn't realize this. This is just something that I grabbed for. This was, although I had the album before this, and I don't remember the name right now. It has Colony of Birchmen, which had Josh Homme on it. Old Man Brain in full effect right now. So I'm not remembering the previous album by Mastodon, but this is Crack the Sky. There was so much hype surrounding them.
Mm.
And I heard this album. I heard Divinations, the first single off of it. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This doesn't sound anything like what I'm used to from Mastodon. It isn't screamy. It's straight up rock. It has some great melodies. And then they released the first album off, or the first track off of this album, Oblivion, as the second single. And I was like, oh my God, I need this album. And I remember buying it before there was Apple Music, there was iTunes, and I bought the album on iTunes, and it came with this rendition plus the instrumental version of the album. And I just became hooked on Mastodon after this. I really like this band. Interestingly enough, like Rival Sons also played at the show I was just mentioning. But this album is great beginning to end. It's a starting point to what they would become. And it's funny because a lot of diehards criticize this because it didn't have the guttural vocals, because it didn't have a lot of different things that people were accustomed to buy the band up to then. And I remember specifically hearing an interview where they said, you know, we're kind of only going to get lighter because our influences are Thin Lizzy and AC/DC and Kiss and Black Sabbath and stuff like that. So the older we get, the more we're going to go towards our influences. So I think Crack the Sky is a great album. But I think everything after this has been really good as well.
Mm.
So that's my first album to showcase.
Yeah. I'm going to have some comments about them live as well when we talk about the Black Sabbath gig in a future episode. So yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that one.
Okay, cool. Next for you.
Yeah. So again, you know, I was thinking, what do I bring along to this? I need to bring along an album that I play regularly. An album that I really enjoy and I think is a really quality hard rock album. And so I've brought along Elegant Weapons, Horns for a Halo.
Okay.
Because I think that this is pretty fantastic. I got to love this album. When I first heard it, I thought it was good. But when I listened to it again and again, I've started to really, really like it. I mean, as you know, it's got Ronnie Romero on vocals on this one, but I think he does a really good job on here. Richie Faulkner really sort of lays out some great riffs on here. I think that probably there was one or two riffs on here he would like to have put on the Judas Priest album, but he didn't have time or he couldn't do so. So they were lying around and he did, you know, there's so many good tracks on it. It starts off with Dead Man Walking, which is a really good, and you know, there's a lot of melody in there, but there's also some really good expert guitar work in there, which Richie's known for. He's a proper rock metal guitarist, which you know, some people don't really get to that sort of level, but he has, and you know, playing with Priest has really brought him on as well. They do actually cover, they do a cover on here as well of Lights Out. And while I originally thought that, you know, it wasn't necessary because, you know, who needs a cover of UFO's Lights Out, I think they actually do a good version of it. So I don't think it detracts too much from the other material, which is all unique. I listen to this a lot. I can listen to all the songs on it. There's nothing that really, you know, I'd say is a dud song on there. And I think I'm really looking forward to hearing more music from him because I think he's done a good job with Elegant Weapons, and I'd like to hear, you know, a follow-up album.
I think they are working on that. And he kind of said something to the effect of, you know, I need to also start working on what my exit strategy is going to be when Priest is done. So I want to have something established. So that only makes sense. Yeah. Who was the rhythm section on that? Was it Rex Brown? And was it Scott Travis on that?
Definitely Scott Travis. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think it was Rex. I'm just looking now to remind myself because I haven't looked at it for a little while.
Right.
We know that Sneap mixed it. It's hard to see actually because, yeah, here we go. Yeah. Definitely Rex Brown. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember that because Pantera had gotten back together again. They had actually, they had done one live show at least, and someone else stepped in. I don't remember who, but it was somebody well known as well. Mm. All right. So pick number two. We're going to go back. This is a special one. So I was trying to figure out if I was going to go in newer things, older things, things in the middle. When I was doing my album of the week, I was trying to pick things that kind of stood out. And not to be show-offy, but just things that are special to me and things that I really like.
Yeah.
This one was kind of winking back at me as I'm going through the vinyl, but it is.
Yeah.
It is Iron Maiden Running Free with... This is on the backside. It is Women in, well, Sanctuary with, yeah. All right. So I'm screwing this up here. It is Running Free and Burning Ambition on one vinyl. And the other vinyl is Sanctuary with Drifter and I've Got the Fire. And then an interview with Nico McBrain. I don't think I've ever listened to the interview with Nico, to be honest. It's probably when I first got it, but I don't recall it. But
let's hope Nico's not listening in.
Yeah. If he is, let's hope he's not offended.
Now, I would just like to say straight up, I've not seen that version there because I remember obviously when Sanctuary came out and I remember all those are singles, but I've not seen that version. So tell me a little bit more about it.
So up here with the ring light, you can't really see, but this was something that was released in 1990, so the first 10 years, and they had re-released on vinyl, cassette, and CD all of their singles leading up to Seventh Son. So essentially what they're touring now, it's Seventh Son, and actually they've done up, and they did Fear of the Dark, so I'm wrong with that. But anyway, so it was called the first 10 years box set. I have the whole thing on CD. I bought it off of eBay years ago before moving overseas. This is the only vinyl that I got my hands on. But I have a bunch of different Maiden cassettes as well. This to me was like finding a treasure when I came across it. You know, I would come overseas to Spain as a kid. And anytime I could find something that I could go back and be like, wow, you know, I'm the only one that's going to have this. You know, I'm going to show this off to my friends. This is going to be so cool. We're going to enjoy this so much. You know, I'm going to share this with everyone. It was a big deal to me. So it still is. I still love those songs. And yeah, I have digital versions of them now. But just hearing those songs on vinyl just have a certain warmth and a certain thing to them. I remember on Despo Geek, they talked about the fact that they didn't like the song Drifter. I love the song Drifter. That's probably my favorite song off of Killer. And there's a live rendition of that on there. And it's so cool just hearing them play it and just how bombastic they were live with Clive Burr and with Paul Di'Anno. So I love that. That's why I wanted to share.
I'm going to pick also an older album next. This is an album that means a lot to me. I think it's probably my favorite by the band. In the 1980s, my friends and I played this a lot, and we realized that this band was something special, really, really special. The expertise on the album was amazing, and it's Van Halen with Fair Warning.
Oh, wow.
This is the original copy, by the way, that I had, which I bought in the 1980s. Still doing quite well, still can play it. Very flimsy, as you know. The vinyls in the old days were quite flimsy.
Yeah.
And I just feel that they actually peaked on this album for me personally. It isn't that they didn't produce other great stuff. You know, I like 1984. I like various other bits and pieces. I like Diver Down. But I just felt that this was quite a unique sounding album. It really showed the musicianship of the band all together, but obviously Eddie. And if you really wanted to, a lot of people always go back to the first Van Halen album. They say, you must listen to Eruption. You must, you know, that's Eddie Van Halen. But, you know, have you ever listened to Unchained, the riff that goes on Unchained? It's just incredible. And Dave was sort of, he had his little lines in there, you know, as he did. And I just feel that they really got it right on this album. It's a fantastic album cover as well. The artwork's amazing. And I just feel that this, if I ever listened to just one Van Halen album, it would probably be this one.
It warms my heart that you pulled that one out, because okay. That's the first Van Halen album that I heard in its entirety.
Right.
Because my brother had it on cassette. And I've always felt that I could go back and forth, because there's everything leading up to that album to me is absolutely great. But having said that, Fair Warning is just a special album to me. Fair Warning and Van Halen 2 are probably my favorite two albums by the band.
Mm-hmm.
I could go back and forth with either one of those, but Unchained, Mean Streets, Dirty Movies, Sinner Swing. It's so funny that Saturday in the Park, I think, is the instrumental on that. Is my go-to song to test a stereo or speakers out. And it was so funny, because back in the day, when they would advertise for the Planetarium in New York, they would play that behind the intro. This weekend at the Hayden Planetarium. Boom, 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 boom. It was just, I still listen to that song and it's magical. And it's funny, because we're possibly going to go to the Hayden Planetarium this year. And I was looking for old promos from the radio to see if that was there. And I didn't find that, but I found like flyers for it. And they said, you know, Laser Show and Planet Show set to the music of Van Halen and Rush and Pink Floyd and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, wow. I wish that was something that we could still see. You know, that must have been so cool to see back in the day. So, yeah, I love Fair Warning. It is just a great, great album.
It is.
This is something newer. And by saying newer, it was released in the mid-90s.
Right.
So this is probably one of the only triple gatefolds that I have. I've been listening to this. I love this band. I've seen them in concert 2-3 times. I've been listening to them quite a bit the last few months. They're kind of a go-to band for me. It is Fear Factory. I know that not everyone that's a patron or that listens to what I do here on Signals from Mars is into them, but this album was revolutionary to me. Man, I remember hearing this, and this is similar to a lot of other bands that I've listened to that have kind of changed the soundtrack of my life, where I didn't get them at first. I remember listening to the song Replica, which is on here, and I wasn't into death metal. The guttural vocals just didn't do it for me. And what did it for me was that Burton C. Bell, the lead singer, was the lead singer on the first Geezer Butler solo album. And there was a song off of that called I don't remember the damn song title. Invisible. Okay. I remember hearing that, and that was one of the first moments. Actually, Chuck Billy's the first one that got me into kind of guttural vocals with the Testament album Low. But this, I heard Replica and I was like, what is this? I don't get it. You know, why isn't he singing clean throughout the whole song? It was like a punch in the face. I didn't know how to take it. And all of a sudden I heard that song, and I remember the local radio station, the local college radio station, WSOU, was saying, oh, well, that's Burton C. Bell of Fear Factory singing that. And now we're going to play Replica by Fear Factory. I was like, yeah, I really wasn't into that song. And then I heard it and I was like, maybe it isn't that bad. And I remember getting the Mortal Kombat soundtrack because it had that track from Geezer Butler, from GZR at the time. And there wasn't an album that was coming out yet. I was like, wow, I love this song. I need to get it. And on that had the third track off of this, which is Zero Signal. And that's when I started to get Fear Factory. And they become a huge part of the soundtrack of my life since this came out. This originally came out in 95, if I'm not mistaken. 95. I love this album. I love this band. And when I saw it, and I've been listening to them quite a bit lately, I said it needed to be one of the albums that I was going to speak about. So
nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, I'm going to move on to an album I think we'll both like, because I think you kind of pushed me in the direction of buying this at one point, because okay, we got talking about it, and I realized that I didn't have it, and I didn't really listen to it properly at the time. But obviously, when Judas Priest split for a bit, Holford sort of moved off, and he recorded a few albums of his own. And so I bought Resurrection, which, all I can say about Resurrection immediately is that if I had a top three Judas Priest albums, this would be in the top three, because I think that he's put together an album here that is phenomenal. I mean, this is also to say, because we're talking about vinyls, it's a normal black vinyl, but you play it at 45. It's half speed. Mastering. It sounds phenomenal when you put it on the turntable. Because of that, the production quality is immense. You turn it up and you're just in a world of heavy metal, Judas Priest stroke Holford heavy metal. I mean, he doesn't veer from a lot from the sort of Priest sound. Obviously, you know, he's got the voice and he likes those sort of songs. He likes the very, very heavy songs, doesn't he? But some of the songs on here are just immense, and he's got a really good backing band. The guys on guitar, Patrick Lachman and Mike Schlesliak, if I pronounce that right. And he's got Ray Riendo on bass guitar, and Bobby Jarzombek on drums. But he's got a good band backing him, and he's got some amazing songs, and it's a beautifully produced album as well, you know, just in the way that he's is put together with this sort of half-speed mastering. And I play this a lot, and it means a lot to me, because it's the, you know, Rob Halford is one of the sounds of heavy metal. If you had to list few of the vocalists who define heavy metal. You know, we talk about Ozzy, we talk about Ronnie James Dio, and we talk about Rob Halford. And he's always going to be a legend. And I just feel this is a slightly overlooked part of his the Judas Priest sort of canon in a way, because it was him on his own. And I think a lot of people, you know, they listened to it maybe at the time, but he doesn't obviously play them live now, whereas he did at the time. And it's a shame, because I would like to see a few of these put into a, you know, a Judas Priest set in a way, but it's never going to happen, obviously, for obvious reasons. So yeah, that's a super album. And I think you're probably on my side on that one, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I've got that one behind me. Yeah. In the H's. I love that album. That album's great. I got to see him play live on that tour, opening up for Iron Maiden. It's Queensryche. Well, it was Halford, Queensryche, and Iron Maiden.
Oh, and wow.
It was a really good show.
Yeah, yeah.
That was at Montage Mountain in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So it was really good. We saw Megadeth and Motley Crue the night before, and then saw that show after.
Wow, that sounds like a really good couple of days.
Yep, absolutely. Here's an album. Again, I've been jamming songs off of this recently, and I have a playlist that's called Up, and it has nothing to do with the Disney movie. It just has to do with songs that get me in a good mood. So if I want to, you know, continue that positive energy, or if I'm, you know, in a shitty mood and want to play something that really gets me in a better mood, I'll play that playlist. The songs can be upbeat, or they can be about fighting through a struggle and getting past it, which is what this album is kind of about. The album is Leave a Scar by Dee Snider.
Wow, yeah. Yeah.
This album is heavy, it's in your face, it is great. It is, I hope, not Dee Snider's last solo album. I know he's against doing another album at the moment, because of all the time and energy, and people don't, you know, not enough people listen to it. I mean, I get that. If I was a full-time professional musician, especially one of his ilk that's had a lot of fame and fortune over the years, to go out and do something that's less than, probably hard. But at the same time, you've got a diehard audience that's loved you and followed you for years, and they're just craving more music. So, D, this album is great. Your last two solo albums are great. I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Please get together with the Belmore Brothers and record another solo album, please.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we got time for more.
And yeah.
I'm gonna pick an album that means a lot to me for various reasons. When I first got into heavy metal, I got into certain bands, obviously British bands at first. And so, you know, those sort of bands, they mean a lot to you. And, you know, over the years I lost one or two albums along the way. I don't know whether I swapped them with friends, or I, you know, they went because people weren't playing albums anymore, vinyls. And so, you know, we were into CDs, and I had to repurchase this album, which I'd originally bought in the 1980s. And it was, it's by a band that you know I like a lot, which is Saxon Denim and Leather.
What a shock.
Yeah, there you go. And I'll just show you the actual vinyl of this one, because it's a nice color.
Oh, wow. There you go. Cool, splatter.
Yeah. This one they've not remastered. So the early ones that they've done, they are exactly as you remember them when you first heard them, but they're just on a nice vinyl. This is a special HMV one, actually, where they give you the little thing. And the reason I like it is it's not the greatest album in terms of, you know, the overall songs, but obviously the title track is a, you know, it's an anthem of our time. Denim and Leather brought us all together. I mean, every word in that song means a lot to me. It means something in there, because I was a person who used to queue up in the ice and snow. I used to wear the denim, used to wear the leather, you know, queued up at the front. And so, you know, it means a lot. And as you get older, those sort of early things in your life mean a hell of a lot. Yeah. And particularly music is something that you always remember. And as we've said in a previous episode, you know, we hope that Biff is well, because he's been going through a lot of illness lately. Hoping to go and see him in November again. And fantastic band live. But, you know, this is a great album. There's some good songs on there, but particularly the title track. So there you go. Denim and Leather is one of the ones close to my heart.
All right, cool. So for my final pick here is actually a box set. And wow. I had the pleasure of doing a show with Ed where a bunch of people voted for Megadeth albums. And this is the Peace Sells But Who's Buying box set.
Oh, wow.
So this was the 25th anniversary. So there's a bunch of CDs and vinyl here. It's the original album remastered in 2011. Then the remix remastered version from 2004. Then the original Randy Burns mixes remastered in 2011. And then there's a live at the Fantasy Theater in Cleveland in 1987. There's a disc with high resolution wave audio files of the original remastered album and live show. And let's see. So those are all CDs. The vinyl is the original album, and then it's the live album. Okay. The it also brings a bunch of knickknacks. It brings a book, a picture at the bottom.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Postcards, some different things from some advertisements from back in the day. I mentioned this during the episode I did with Ed. I couldn't get the vinyl out, so I actually had to cut slits in the inner sleeve so that I could pull the vinyl out. It's like a marble. But this is the first album that introduced me to thrash. So the CDs are kept here.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, really cool.
Bumping the mic here. The vinyls are in here. So this is the actual cover blown up. The vinyls are going to fly out. And this is the booklet.
Yeah. When did that come out again? So,
25th anniversary, so 2011, I guess.
11, yeah. Yeah.
It has some promo shots from back in the day. Before CD, or not before CD, because when CDs were coming out, they were still sending those to radio stations. A reproduction of a ticket. And then these are the flyers. Them playing with Motorhead and the Cro-Mags. Come party at the Pavilion with Lemmy.
Hey, that's cool. I like that.
San Bernardino, California. And then another one for them playing with Dark Angel, Agent Steel, and special guest, No Mercy.
Hmm.
So, pretty cool. So there you go. That is my pick number 5.
Nice. you've ended on a high note. Put it that way.
I think the entire show is a high note. How about that? With nothing but good classic music that means something to both of us. And that's what music is all about, releasing emotion and, you know, helping you get through the good times, the bad times, and everything in between. On that note, Jeremy, thank you for sharing some of your vinyl with us tonight. And we will see you guys next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Watching the Signals from Mars live stream. You can watch the show live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch, or check out replays on YouTube. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.